Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Football Media Days from Hoover and Birmingham. We're at the Radio Row at the Hyatt Regency, the Winfrey, and we're right between, of course, the lobby area. In fact, we're closer to the lobby. In fact, I can almost touch the lobby where all the fans have been gathering all day, seeing their favorite players and teams. And then to the right is the mall, the Galleria. We are closer to the fans, and you'll certainly be hearing them probably coming up on Wednesday and Thursday when Alabama comes to town, and Auburn on Thursday, but Alabama on Wednesday. But today, three teams featured, the Florida Gators, LSU, along with Missouri. This is my 12th straight year of broadcasting from Radio Row and the SEC Football Media Days. Jay, this is your first, and try to prepare you as far as, painting that picture of what to expect. And we got here early this morning, been going at it all day long. Is it everything I described, or is it more for you?
Honestly, I think it's actually a little bit more, honestly, to be completely honest, because it's just a lot of people, a lot of media people here as well, and awesome to get to see coaches and players that you get to see on TV, and it's been very enjoyable so far. Of course, it was a lot of work for us to get everything set up, but everything has been working like a charm so far.
This is called a labor of love. First and foremost, I want to thank our sponsors for making it possible for us to be here all week. We'll be broadcasting all 4 days of SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, including Thursday. A lot of folks leave early on Thursday. Not me. I've always been, I wanted to be the last man standing, and so that will be the case again for us this year. But big thanks to our sponsors, including Klein Preston Law Group, Picasso Auto, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, along with Strike and Spare Family Fund Centers, and real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark. And like I said, today with these three teams, by the way, just to give you an example of what's coming up, in just a few minutes, around 4:20, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football himself, analyst with the SEC Network. Around 4:35, Scott Ramsey, president and CEO, not only of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, but the National Sports Council. Just after 5, Ben Troop, former Florida Gator All-American tight end, former Tennessee Titan tight end as well, co-host on 3 and Out down in for ESPN Coastal, which is right there along the lines of South Carolina and Georgia, Savannah, Hilton Head. Adam Zucker, you certainly know that name, host of College Football Today on CBS. And then during the week, he's a host of Inside College Football on CBS Sports Network. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, Chuck Oliver, syndicated 40-plus outlets throughout. He is, of course, the host of the Chuck Oliver Show.
Right.
We'll hear from Buddy Martin, editor and publisher with Gator Bait Magazine in the 6 o'clock hour, and along with Rachel Barbeau with SiriusXM, and she is also the founder of Changing the Narrative. So a little bit of everything. We've also had a chance to catch up with former LSU fullback Jacob Hester, Ivan Mazel. He is the senior writer and editor-at-large for ESPN. We'll try to get to them. Here's the thing. It's the beautiful part, and this happens every year, and I was talking to you about this coming down here. I was doing the math and looking back and all the interviews. If we get to 36, and today we're looking at the number 9 number, so if we get to 36 by Thursday, 500 interviews for myself being able to cover, as far as SEC Football Media Days. And so we'll see if we get to that. I'd be shocked if we don't get to that magic number. But today, the biggest thing is when you look at the three teams here, LSU, Florida, along with Missouri, LSU, certainly they feel like they have the kind of talent to compete in the SEC West with the Alabamas of the world. Florida and Dan Mullen, who won a national championship, if you recall, as a coordinator with the Florida Gators. Then he went to Mississippi State as a head coach, second-year coach for the Florida Gators. Certainly one of the big things about Dan Mullen is his ability to get the most out of quarterbacks, and that's what they expect out of Felipe Franks this year with the Florida Gators. And then you've got Missouri, Kelly Bryant. Last time we saw him was back in September as quarterback with the Clemson Tigers, and now a new team with Missouri. And folks are really buying into and believing that Missouri could be that surprise team in the East. Who knows? We could be talking about Missouri with that schedule, being able to manage that schedule, that Missouri could be the team that represents the East in Atlanta coming up in December.
And it's kind of scary because they almost resemble last year's Kentucky team, bringing a lot of good key pieces back. Of course, they lost Drew Locke, but they gained Kelly Bryant, who was also a very good quarterback in Clemson in his own right. So it's going to be a lot of fun up there in Columbia, Missouri, definitely.
All right, so we had been alluding to this over the past few weeks. It's like, where, what city will be hosting the SEC Football Media Days next year? You know, I really honestly felt, after what transpired in Atlanta last season, I just really felt good about Nashville. So the good news is Nashville will be hosting the SEC Football Media Days. The bad news, we have to wait another extra year. It'll be 2021. It's going back to Atlanta next year. And I just hope, and look, you know, when you're, Birmingham has gotten used to hosting these. And so if you're in the position of hosting these over and over again, which until last year it was always in Birmingham, then you get really good at it. And the whole thing is, I really believe that Atlanta will use the feedback it received after last year and do a much better job as far as 2020. And as far as Nashville, and we'll get into this conversation with Scott Ramsey at the bottom of the hour, but the bottom line is, whether you're talking about NHL All-Star Weekend or the draft, you know, music events, it doesn't matter. Nashville always raises the bar, and I wouldn't expect anything less than 2 years when Nashville in 2021 hosts the SEC Football Media Days.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, Nashville has become that standard bearer of trying to raise the bar to another level. We've already seen that with the NFL draft, like you said, and, you know, the NHL draft. Now, whenever when we do the SEC Media Days in 2 years, you know it's going to be exploding downtown Nashville.
And by the way, just want to give you a preview of what to expect this week. As I mentioned, the three teams that are represented today with their coaches and their players. Tomorrow is Tennessee Day. You have Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, the players. You have Jarrett Garantano, one of the nine quarterbacks representing their teams here at SEC Football Media Days. Daniel Batuli, the product of Nashville, linebacker extraordinaire. Daryl Taylor, all representing Tennessee. Also, the other three teams tomorrow, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, along with the Georgia Bulldogs. Interesting enough, you know, I mentioned 9 of the 14 teams are bringing their quarterbacks over the 4 days, right? The intriguing part about that is the fact that the first 7 teams, the 3 today, the 4 tomorrow, all 7 of them, that's 7 of your 9 right there, all with it, you know, because every team brings 3 players, and you try usually get one on offense, one on defense, and then that other one could be the wild card. It could be on either side. It could be just a great human interest story. But the first 7 schools represented this week at SEC Football Media Days, their quarterbacks are representing them.
And that's always a good thing. You know, like you and I were talking about it on the way down here, it's always good to get to talk to the quarterback because, you know, QB1's always the, you know, the main guy that people want to talk to, want to hear about, and it's always fun to get to see what they think of the offense going into the season.
Once again, we're on location, just getting started. Day 1 of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. If you're looking for a great time with your friends and family, how about this? Under one roof, we're talking about bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. What am I talking about? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. It's great for birthday parties, fundraising events, and more. For additional information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. Locations to serve you, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, the Tusculum area, and you can enjoy enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also bringing it strong with laser tag, roller skating, skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And as a reminder, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Coming up next, chance to talk to Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart, analyst with the SEC Network, as our coverage of day one of the SEC Football Media Days continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. As we keep updated with traffic, it's building now out of downtown here on the South Loop, the West Loop, across the Woodland Street Bridge. Nolensville Pike at North Crescent Rec should be out of there in a few minutes. Latest crash at the intersection of Herman Street and 28th and 1400 block of Lebanon Pike and Hermitage. We saw that crash a few minutes ago. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. They started all this hot chicken craze years ago, and they are the leader. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there, and he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
The best team all year acted like the best team last night.
Yeah.
They were the best team in every regard, and that's not easy.
Mission accomplished. You went out and got the job done. Now it's complete.
You have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history cap it with a second national championship.
Boom. They get the second national title. Good for those guys, man.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you on location. Day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days here in Hoover. Back in the Goggin Kohall Studios, making sure everything runs smoothly. Adam Johnson, Jay Henson on location here with me, making sure that I don't get in too much trouble. Right now, in front of me, it's always a pleasure. You know, it wouldn't be for me SEC Football Media Days without our next guest, because I've been blessed. This is the 12th straight year I've covered the SEC Media Days, and every year this next individual has always been kind enough to be a part of the show. Mr. College Football himself, analyst of the SEC Network, Tony Barnhart. Tony, thank you as always.
Johnny, it's good to be here. It's just hard to believe that the calendar has spun around, and here we are getting ready for another football season. But, you know, it's been 6 months since we were all in San Jose, and so I think we're about ready to get going.
You know, you brought up San Jose, so we'll get to that first and foremost. You know, it hasn't been like Nick Saban has been unblemished, although it seems that way. It's one thing to lose a national title game on the final play, which happened 3 seasons ago. Mm-hmm. It's a different story altogether when you lose 44-16. Now, I will make the argument that if you look in the third quarter, you know, Alabama, it wasn't like they were being stopped. I mean, they had two great scoring opportunities mm-hmm. there in the third, early fourth. If they convert there in the red zone, we're talking about a two-score game with 12 minutes to go, and those are games that Alabama comes back to win.
Right, and I think, listen, you can analyze those kind of games to death and play the what-if game all day long. Fellas, if you're Nick Saban, hey, fellas, we had a bad night. And you know what? They're pretty good. And so let's just, you know, let's think about the 14. Let's think about the things we did right to win 14. We'll eliminate the things we did wrong, do one, and guess what? We're going to make another run at it. So don't dwell on it.
How about the fact, too, and this is a great indication, too, when you look at the – first of all, I can't recall the last time when all the coaches that coached in the SEC last year are mm-hmm. all back this year. Everybody is back. Now, does that mean that everybody is all comfortable? No. There's a couple of coaches on the hot seat that come to mind immediately. Gus Malzahn with – you know, that when you have talked midway through a season after being renewed with a nice contract, that finding a way to buy him out, that can't be a good place to be. And I'll even throw Matt Luke. Ole Miss, to me, last year, when you look at what they had on offense with Jordan Ta'amu and the wide receivers, mm-hmm. I thought they left – I understand they didn't have a bowl to play for, but I still think that they left wins out on that football field.
Well, both of those teams did that. And when you start with Auburn – you know, I was on with somebody today, and they were asking about Auburn. This was an Auburn person. I said, look, you've got a really good football team, but you're overscheduled. I mean, really, really overscheduled. When you sit there and look at the games, half of their schedule is against teams that are in somebody's top 12.
Right.
And that's just unheard of. And, you know, you have to play everybody in the SEC West. That's bad enough. Then you have to play Oregon, who may win the Pac-12. And then oh, by the way, who are the two teams you don't want to play in the SEC East? Florida and Georgia. Well, congratulations, you get to play them both. So it's just a ridiculous schedule. And you're right about Ole Miss. I visited there in the spring, and they're going to be, I think they're going to be okay on offense with Rich Rodriguez calling the plays. They were awful on defense, just awful, and they've got to get better.
You look at the Tennessee Vols in 2017, 4-8. If you didn't know the rest of the story, and I told you that Tennessee was going to go down in October and upset Auburn, and mm-hmm. oh, by the way, here's a Kentucky team enjoying one of their three best seasons in the history of their football program, Tennessee finds a way to win that game, would you still buy in the fact that they finished 5-7?
Well, no, if you told me they were going to win those games in advance, but that's the nature of rebuilding a program. You're going to go up where things work, and you're going to go down. And it was truly an up-and-down season for them. But if you're a Volunteer fan, okay, it's not like, you know, we beat Auburn and we beat Kentucky, so we know we can do it. It's a matter of doing it on a consistent basis and getting better players. Tennessee's roster is still nowhere near where it needs to be.
Visiting with Tony Barnhart once again. You know, I've broken down the schedules for both Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I have Tennessee getting off to a strong start, 3-0. I have Vanderbilt, if they're fortunate, they'll be 1-2 through the first three games. Mm-hmm. And then the script gets flipped because then I see a Tennessee team maybe gets one more win over the next four games, while Vanderbilt then will get a chance to go on a roll. What I'm getting to, that I feel like both of those teams are going to be 7-4 going into that final Saturday in November.
Wow, that would be something. And all of a sudden, Vanderbilt, how many times have we said this in our lifetime? And Vanderbilt will be going for his fourth consecutive win against Tennessee. We haven't said that. And I think what Derek Mason has done has been an incredible job. They bring in the quarterback from Ball State who's got some skill. I mean, matter of fact, their skill positions are as good as anybody, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And so it's going to be interesting to see how but the SEC East is getting better. So it's going to be interesting to see if both those teams can get there.
How about the fact that, you know, as I talked about this earlier in the show, 9 of the 14 teams, in fact, the first 7 are bringing their quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. When we think about Vanderbilt historically over the last 5 years under Derek Mason, especially early on, we were talking about how solid the defense is. Well, last year in the Big Four category, scoring defense, rush defense, pass defense, total defense, we're talking about double digits. That's not where you want to be. if I told you there was a team here being represented by three offensive players, one of them led the league last year in receptions, the other one led all tight ends in receptions, and the other one led the conference in yards per carry with 7.9, how many guesses would you have to go down the list before you came up with Vanderbilt? But that's exactly what we're talking about with Kalijah Lipscomb, and along with Pinckney, and along with Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah. You would go through a lot of teams before you get to Vanderbilt, and it's very impressive. They got kind of that kind of skill level. So the question is, does the quarterback come in and take all these wonderful weapons around him? Does the offensive line block for him? How is that offense going to be run? Because if I got Keyshawn Vaughn, he's my horse. Okay, I like that guy. And so you want to run him and then take advantage of the mismatches that you will get from a team that wants to slow him down.
Having a chance again to visit with Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. If it's not Alabama and it's not Georgia, who do you feel like could represent the West, and who do you feel like can represent the East?
In the West, it's LSU. LSU, when you sit there and look at their roster, I had a chance to sit down with Joe Burrow, their quarterback, for an extended period of time. And, hey, this guy can play. He's a gamer. I mean, he's not as talented as a lot of quarterbacks, but you can tell why the players like him. And so Ed Orgeron says defensively this could be the best secondary he's ever seen. You know, I talked to Grant Delpit, and the guy's a great, great player. Let's talk again on September 7th. That's when they go to Texas, and we're going to find out a whole lot about LSU. But if you got to pick somebody in the West, it's LSU. In the East, it's Florida. I mean, Florida's had a tough summer, but all the pieces fall into place. Spent some time with Felipe Franks today, and he has come so far from where he was when Dan Mullen got him.
And what was it, 31 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions last year?
Never thought he could get there. I really didn't. I thought he was a big, great athlete who would never grasp the nuances of playing quarterback. Well, that's why you got Dan Mullen. That's why he's one of the best quarterback coaches of our generation.
I think that you really can't overstate that enough, because we've seen time and time again what he's been able to do, speaking of Coach Mullen, out of his quarterbacks. He takes them to another level.
Well, nobody wanted Nick Fitzgerald. Well, he was on the second list of 300 recruits that Mississippi State was looking at. You know, he has taken guys and just turned them into – I mean, Dak. I mean, nobody wanted him as a quarterback. LSU didn't want him as a quarterback. And he said, no, I can make this guy into a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see. I talked to somebody, does Felipe Franks sort of do an upward trajectory, or does he make a jump in his second year? I think he makes a jump.
You know, a while ago you were alluding to Joe Burrow, for example, at LSU, and you can throw out his name, Kelly Bryant with Missouri, but I go back to, like, last year sitting down with Benny Snell Jr., and the thing that really came up, and that's one of the reasons why I had Kentucky upsetting Florida last year in Gainesville, because it doesn't matter what anybody here, as far as from a media standpoint, believes in these players or whatever. As long as their teammates believe in them, follow them because they believe in their leadership, that's the only thing that matters. So there's a lot of question marks. There's some, you know, you could go down the list, probably maybe five teams. Six teams could be, and without a stretch, could be representing themselves as far as in Atlanta for the SEC championship this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, can anybody knock Alabama or Georgia off? I don't think so. I've got both of those teams going undefeated in Atlanta. But the depth of the league, particularly in the East, the West has been good for a while, but the depth in the East has gotten better and better and better. Will Muschamp thinks he's going to have his best team at South Carolina. That may be true, but there's another team that's overscheduled.
He may be talented. They may have a good team. I looked at that schedule. I have them with 6 losses in their final 7 games.
Well, you sit there in South Carolina. Well, who's number one? Clemson? Well, you play them. Who's number two? Well, you know, and Georgia's number three. Got to play them. And Texas A&M, got to play them.
I mean, think about that.
Alabama rotates on, got to play them.
At least they host Alabama, but they got Alabama, Georgia, Florida. The fact that they're one of the few teams out there that starts with a Power 5 conference team, in their case, North Carolina, and then they wrap it up with Clemson. Yeah, good luck with that schedule.
I just think they're going to have a good team. But, you know, Jake Bentley's got to play better. He threw 14 interceptions last year. They don't run the ball with any kind of consistency, and they can't stop the run. So they've got skilled people, and I think they'll have a good team. But, you know, 7 wins is really, to me, is maxing out for them.
Hey, before you go, I'd like to get your thoughts. Last year, the SEC Football Media Days, for the first time away from Birmingham in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta gets it back for 2020, but in 2 years from now, it's going to be in Nashville. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great move. You know, after it was in Atlanta last year, I was asked, you know, through the SEC just to give my thoughts. I thought this is a big event, okay? And it felt big in Atlanta when you've got marquee signs and College Football Hall of Fame and just light up the downtown Atlanta area. I mean, the folks here at the Winfrey have done a very, very good job. But in my opinion, and was asked about this 3 years ago, this event has outgrown this venue. And I think having it in Atlanta and having it in Nashville is going to be great. You saw what Nashville did with the NFL draft. They are thrilled to have it.
NHL All-Star Weekend, check, raised the bar, Nashville did. You mentioned the NFL draft, raised the bar, and it's not even close. It's like a 28-point blowout in a championship game.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything less than what Nashville will be able to pull off in 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's really going to be fun. This event has gotten so big, it needs to have some pizzazz. It needs to have that NFL draft feel to it. It happened in Atlanta. It'll happen in Atlanta next year, and it'll happen in Nashville.
Tony, always a pleasure. Thank you for 12 straight years joining me during SEC Football Media Days.
All right, Johnny. Good to be with you.
Be good, buddy. Mr. College Football himself, he's an analyst with the SEC Network, formerly with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a little bit of everything. Tony Barnhart joining us. We're just getting started. Day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover at the Hyatt Regency, the Winfrey Hotel. We'll be with you tonight until right before 7 when we turn things over to the Atlanta Braves Network. Braves coverage coming your way tonight starting at 6:55. First pitch tonight at 7:10 as Atlanta takes on the Milwaukee Brewers. Coming up on the other side of the break, a chance to visit with the president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl and the National Sports Council. Scott Ramsey will be joining us, and we'll get his thoughts with the news earlier today that Greg Sankey told us all about, the fact that Nashville will indeed be the site for the SEC Football Media Days, not next year, but in 2021. All of our coverage continuing right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic build pretty good out here now, where you would expect, coming off the South Loop, the West Loop. Wreck with injuries tying up the 3,000 block of Brick Church Pike. 65 southbound at Harding Place, trying to move that wreck over to the side. A wreck in Madison on OHB, right near Head Drive. And traffic's busy, of course, now on 24 as you make your way out towards Murfreesboro. Hey, if you're moving soon, call Smashville Moving Company, 584-4954. That's SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
And now the fine folks at Dunkford Irrigation would like to remind all Americans to show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to locate a military care package and learn how you can help a hero today. This salute is brought to you by Dunkford Irrigation. For the finest quality in irrigation, lighting fixtures, and equipment, call Dunkford Irrigation at 615-218-3058. That's 615-218-3058. Dunkford Irrigation. They're people who care. When it's time for new flooring and hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Braza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Braza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Braza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Braza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction.
the Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a high near 85. And for Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 7, then mostly cloudy with a high near 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson on location. Day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, back in the Gogg and Cohall studios. Adam Johnson making sure everything runs smoothly there. Big thanks again to all of our sponsors making it possible for us to be here this week. Klein Preston Law Group, Picasso Auto, Tennessee Highway Safety Office, along with Strike and Spare Family Fund Centers, Penn Station East Coast Subs, and Richard Courtney. You know, every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, so it's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. You can learn more about his proven marketing plan on the web at richardcourtney.com, or give him a call at 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty. And big thanks once again to Richard. All right, so earlier today, the big news, and everybody, you know, kind of like felt like they knew what it was going to be, but Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, with the announcement that Nashville will be hosting the SEC Football Media Days. But they have to wait for 2 years. It'll be 2021. Atlanta gets it again next year. And right now in front of me, it's always a pleasure visiting with our next guest, Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, along with the National Sports Council. So, you know, how do you feel about it? I mean, obviously you're excited, but did you want it next year?
Well, actually, the RFP they sent out, Johnny, was for 21, 22, and 23. So they've delayed decisions on 22 and 23, and 21 worked, and, you know, things lined up. And I'm very excited about it. You know, I think it's an event in the summer, and it's an opportunity to put our city again in front of 1,000 credential media and 50 hours of television coverage, and in a time of year where there's not a whole lot of events for us to recruit. And you know, I think the convergence of entertainment, fan engagement, and this media event really fits well with some of the trends that we're seeing, certainly the success of the NFL draft, but also coming out of the Women's Final Four and the NHL All-Star Game, where we really, you know, engage downtown. The new Nashville Yards, the Grand Hyatt, will serve as host, and, you know, we're appreciative of them being able to kind of extend the hotel. It's being built now, open next summer, so we're going to be able to expose a new part of the city. And, you know, I think anytime we can use sports to put our city in that kind of positive platform, it's a good thing. And so we're excited about it.
A lot of feathers in the cap over the past couple of decades. You know, when we think about the National Sports Council, you and your staff went pulling all this off. And I look at it this way. You know, you look at, say, a Nick Saban, the pressure, you know, five national titles since he's taken over at Alabama, add another one when he was at LSU. You've got Kirby Smart. You know, everybody, you're not there just to win SEC titles. They want Georgia to win a national championship. When you think about all the great events, NHL All-Star Weekend, the draft you brought up, the list goes on. And I mean, I remember back in the, was it late 90s, you had the U.S. Figure skating, the ladies figure skating championships. So when I say that, does it put more pressure on you guys to keep raising the bar? Because you can't, you're Nashville now. You represent Nashville in all these events. You can't just do an average thing.
Well, that's a good question. I guess we've never really looked at it from the side of pressure, but I think right now, you know, where we are as a city, I think it's kind of been where we're able to be a little more strategic. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you wanted any event because you needed to establish a couple things. One, a reputation as a city that you could host events, host big events were next. And then secondly, could you sustain that over time? And also kind of continue to maintain the facilities to be able to host events on a larger scale. So those events don't always bid out every year. So sometimes you'd host it and you have to wait 3 or 4 years, bid, and you're bidding 3 or 4 years out. So the cycle wasn't immediate. And now I think we're able to kind of target some events and be a little more strategic. And also we have to be because the city right now is just so full, as you know. It's hard to align everything that you need, whether it be hotel space, convention meeting space, convention center, facilities.
Right.
I mean, Bridgestone Arena is one of the top five busiest buildings in the country. So to align everything now is not as easy as it was before. So I think we're trying to fit in with our whole annual schedule a little bit better. So from the sports, we're looking at it like we have SEC basketball now locked into 2035. We have the marathon in late April. We have the bowl in December. Three times a year is when we did those that were very low tourism times. Obviously, now there's no low tourism time. But, you know, and so we're able to target those big events that you mentioned. And this one fits in the summer, which is really nice. It's going to expose a new hotel in downtown. And, you know, with everybody moving there and having such a broad base now of SEC alumni, that we think this will be an event that we can add some fan elements to it should the SEC choose to go that way and really kind of maybe recreate the event a little bit.
Scott Ramsey joining us again, President and CEO not only of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl but the National Sports Council. You know, when you have these great events, and they could be, you know, from everything from hockey as we brought up to NFL, college football, whatever the case may be, the bottom line is there things that from a foundation standpoint from all these events that you can borrow from and then just tweak it to make it special for that particular event?
Well, sure. That's what you'd like to kind of build in. And I think that's the next step in this particular event. We're talking about media days and that, you know, I think some of the things that the SEC staff has seen and obviously we've done in Nashville, I think will be some elements that we can look at. You know, most recently, everybody's going to point to the draft. Well, there's not any other events you're going to see 600,000 people in that kind of, you know, kind of infrastructure. So that's not an exact example. However, you can take elements. So, you know, if ESPN liked how they had set up an area to where they had some fans around their set and they want to kind of recreate something like that, then where's that fit around the Nashville Yards hotel area? We had a great red carpet event for the NHL All-Star Weekend, if you
right.
remember, where, you know, we announced them on the stage and had a little interaction with them, and then the players walked down into the arena. Could we do something like that to kind of expose the players and coaches in a little more public so the fans could have I don't know that, and they may choose to or not to do it, but I think we've had enough examples that we can kind of recreate something if they choose to go that direction. And that's kind of really what it's about. But, it was an opportunity to have you know, Nashville on a national stage of media and sports media that that we play to on a regular basis in our town. We felt like it was a positive opportunity for us.
You know, with regards to events that have been in other cities, do you take the approach, you and your staff and all the volunteers, do you take the approach, we want to put on the best event we possibly can, or do you take the approach, we want to put on the best event, not only as possibly we can, but better than anybody else has ever done it?
Well, certainly you want to set new standards for events. I think anybody in any city, you know, would say that same answer. I also think you got to be a little respectful to the rights holder. You know, this is the SEC's event. I mean, while we may have great ideas of ways to do things, it may just not fit with what they want to do with this event.
Right.
And it may not be SEC, it might be NFL, it might be NHL. I mean, it's their event ultimately to make a decision on how they want to kind of shape it. And we're there as serving as hosts and hopefully be able to execute their vision and give them some ideas. But also I think we always like to put a Music City spin on it, as you know. And, you know, I certainly think we're going to push hard to kind of have that element in there. Don't know what that element is yet. you know, I think there's a lot of work to do. I mean, we still don't know what that infrastructure is going to be around the hotel yet. It's not up. It doesn't even have walls yet. We've seen the framework. So that's going to be a big area. It's going to be a dynamic area in our city. So once we have a better feel for that over the next several months, we'll be able to kind of roll out some plans.
Scott Ramsey joining us again, President and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage City Bowl, along with the National Sports Council. 1998, the inaugural year of the Music City Bowl. It's funny because you've been a topic of discussion a lot in the offseason, especially when we talk about Alabama football. Because when you look back at Alabama losing to Clemson 44-16, you have to go back to that very first Music City Bowl last time Alabama got beat like that.
Yeah, that's an odd way to bring it up. But, you know, we've had a busy offseason on the bowl. You know, we've extended here with the SEC another 6 years. We're in our sixth year of our current six-year agreement. Opposite the SEC is we finish out a deal which I think really elevated our game and being able to flex the either ACC or Big Ten with Jacksonville and the Gator Bowl folks. But starting next year, we will be exclusive with the Big Ten. We were there from 02 to 06, but we're in a much better position right now. And I think a lot of things have changed in the bowls as you look at it from our standpoint. One, I think you've seen tourism patterns and travel patterns change with fans. I think when we started, man, it was tough to compete against the destinations, you know, the South Floridas and the Texas and the Phoenix and the Californias. Now people kind of want that three-day hop in my car, take a short flight, have fun in a city, and go to the game. And, man, we're really, I think, geographically positioned. The teams we just had recently with the Big Ten, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, have just really filled up our city and just had positive things to say. So I think we're really excited about that, and we're moving up. We're kind of in that group right behind Citrus Outback, two New Year's Day games, and then us. So to think that we're in that position from where we were 20 years ago is pretty exciting, and I think the next 6 years will be a great experience for us.
Now, not that I'm trying to get you to A to Z overnight, but in 12 years, if I said that, oh, by the way, the Music City Bowl will be hosting one of the semifinals as far as the college football playoff, how crazy am I?
Well, I think I lumped that answer into the men's Final Four, the Super Bowl, along with the same thing, and that, you know, I still think it's going to come down to a what is our appetite politically in our city with Nissan Stadium.
Right.
I say politically because I think there's two sides. I think certainly think if you're the NFL team and the city wants to, you know, pull a Lucas Oil like Indianapolis did or Mercedes-Benz or something like that, I think if you're the team, you're jumping up and down. But you know, I think that negotiation will answer that question for us. But I would agree that we would be one of the cities would have a really good shot. A, the national championship game, a Super Bowl, and a men's Final Four. If we had facility in the Mid South in the middle of January, that would create some, I guess, an environment inside. That would eliminate some weather issues for some of those games, obviously men's Final Four. But with our hotel infrastructure now, downtown, the events we've hosted, I think everything else is finally in place to answer those questions.
Scott, do you ever allow yourself to go back and see where, from a sports standpoint especially, where the city was, how the downtown structure, everything involved population-wise back in the 90s compared to where Nashville is today?
Well, you do. You reflect a little bit, Johnny. We've done on your show, it seems like, as much as any, but because you've kind of, you know, ridden that that car with us. But I think it's somewhat rewarding. I mean, I've certainly been blessed to be here since 1995, and I moved here when the hole in the ground for the arena. And ironically, we're bidding on the 2022 U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which is the very first sporting event in the arena in 1997.
Tara Lipinski.
And the reason I moved here, and, you know, to kind of work with Jenny Hanna and the sports council at that point, and, you know, to see that 25 years later kind of makes you reflect back, because we were trying to find some of those files. I have no idea where they are. It was paper back then, as you know. I think it's exciting. You know, I think to see how people have viewed our city differently externally. I think we've always felt very confident about our city, you know, within the city walls or our planning, but externally to see how people now view Nashville from 15, 20 years ago, specifically as a sports destination, it's pretty rewarding, and I wish I could share that better with a lot of the people who have made it happen, whether it be the teams, the political support we've had, the hospitality support, the volunteers, the people who live in our city. But it's a pretty dramatic change in 20 years.
Visiting again with Scott Ramsey. You know, for me, I bring up these kind of things because I think it's important to know where the city, especially from a sports standpoint, where the city was back in the day and where we are today. And it gives you a chance to show you how much you can grow in that time frame and what the future could hold as well. And it's always fun, I'm sure, from your perspective, just keep adding a first-time event for Nashville, like, for example, in 2 years, the SEC Football Media Days.
Well, it is. And, again, it's in a time of year where it's exciting. How I mean, all this here. I mean, it
was
great. Fun. Talk football. SEC has been an anchor in our bowl game. As you know, we started out just hoping to make it, and now we're – you know, we're probably one of the top 10 games, easily one of the top 10 games by any metrics, attendance, TV ratings, interest in the city that you have. You know, we now have the SC basketball tournament locked in through 2035. We were begging for it in 2001 when we first had it, and begging for it again in 06. And now to have a 17-year run, the longest agreement between a city and an event like that in the country, is pretty exciting. So, now we've just got to continue to do the events well and be good hosts and, you know, live up to, you know, the reputation that we've worked hard to build.
I want to say it because because we're on radio, it doesn't show your smile. You've been beaming all day long today.
It's just been kind of one of those years where I think we're really positioned well for the next, you know, 5 to 15 years with events that really fit our city well, and we can build around that to that point. You know, I think the SEC, I think if you're looking at it from a, if you were in a corporation and you're selling widgets, it would kind of really be our biggest client. The bowl partnership, the SEC basketball partnership, certainly this event. When we've been on collegiate events, a lot of their ADs have been on selection committees or committees, you know, to where they're helping us or kind of behind the scenes supporting it. You know, we're excited about where we are and how our city's performed in the last month. I mean, just last year we had the Davis Cup and we had the marathon. We just had the U.S. Women's Golf Amateur at the golf club last summer, a week on Fox, which went great, national championship. The draft, getting the basketball extension, getting the Big Ten lined up. So it's been a really exciting, 14 to 16 months.
Before we let you go, obviously it takes a lot of volunteers to put on all these events we're talking about. Give you a chance to ask for more to help with these events.
Well, yeah, both members and volunteers. We're a membership organization. Think of like a chamber for sports, and we'd love for people out there to get involved. Anybody can get involved. It's not expensive. So jump on our website, nationalsports.com. We do need volunteers. We need members. We want the community to be involved, and hopefully it's something they can have fun with, and it'll be a rewarding opportunity for them.
Big congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you around.
Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, along with the National Sports Council, stopping by hour one, day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days. We'll continue because guess what? We're just getting started. 4 days of coverage here from Radio Row at the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel here in Hoover. Jay Henson, along with myself, on location back in the Goggin Cool Hall Studios. Adam Johnson, making sure everything runs smoothly. More to come. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic increase quite a bit here on the South Loop, the West Loop. They're finishing up that crash there at Thompson Lane in Hartford, 8th and Chestnut. They're in Midtown. It had traffic tied up just a bit. Heavy where you would expect now. 65 back down into Brentwood. Also carrying a heavy volume of traffic now on 65 northbound up through Madison. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. It's worth that drive to 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Okay, on tap for NASCAR this weekend is Kentucky Speedway, where if you look at the satellite view, the infield garage area spells out DW. Yeah, go check for yourself right now. If you're looking to win a bet, how about the first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race being held in 2011, and that was won by Kyle Busch. It's been a couple of races now, but it was repaved, rebanked in turns 1 and 2, and they added 3 degrees. Look out for turn 3. I hear that's the driver's nightmare. It's a 1.5-mile oval with banking up to 17 degrees. The front stretch is 1,662 feet, backstretch an even 1,600, so not equidistant. Cup race is 267 laps or 400.5 miles. Last year's pole sitter was Martin Truex Jr., and the winner of the last two races there is the same Martin Truex Jr. Check out all the action Saturday night under the lights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. Landon Castle breaks down some of the differences between the car you're driving to work right now and his work vehicle, a NASCAR race car.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of safety aspects in a race car, and the fact that we're buckled in and wearing a helmet and on some bike, I definitely would not advise taking a production car that fast unless you were with a professional and buckled in and properly and have the safety equipment. And even then, if something bad were to happen at that speed, it's not a good thing. So that's why I told her that. I said, it was kind of a one-time deal to go that fast in a production car.
TheFinalLap.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere. Or here! One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting from Radio Row. Day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days in Hoover. Adam Johnson in the Goggin Cool Hall Studios. The thing interesting, visiting with Scott Ramsey just then, president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl and the National Sports Council. You know, the fact that you really can't capture his smile on the radio, just hearing his voice, because honestly, since this morning, even before Greg Sankey made the announcement that Nashville would be hosting the SEC Football Media Days in 2021, big, huge smile on his face. And look, it's not just by accident. We're talking about, you know, when you look back at, you know, since the late 90s, all the incredible events that Nashville's had the chance to host, one step at a time, building that foundation. It's just one extra feather in the cap for the city of Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, he's done an excellent job with the way, you know, Nashville's been going with these sporting events. And it's like you said, I mean, when they get one event, they love to step it up. I mean, look at the NFL draft. Look at the NHL All-Star game. I mean, they are NHL draft. That's been one good step at a time, and you know the SEC Media Days will be just even better in 2 years.
Today, LSU, the Florida Gators, Missouri. Look, if you ask anybody on either one of those three teams, they don't just want to be good this year. They actually feel like they have the personnel and the teams to actually win their respective divisions. And you go, Missouri, really? I mean, Kelly Bryant, he is so excited. He actually made the comment earlier today that – when he steps on the field for the first time against Wyoming, that's where Missouri goes, he's going to have to really stop himself from crying because, you know, you go back to his last playing days in September with Clemson last year. And look, this Missouri team believes that, you know, forget about being 500 or bowl eligible. This is a team that actually believes in itself to the point where they feel like they can contend in the SEC East.
Yeah, I mean, even with the bowl ban, they're still going to come out there and they're going to try and hit you in the mouth early. And, I mean, with Kelly Bryant, they've got a really good team coming back. And I would not doubt this team being like a Kentucky from last year.
And we mentioned LSU. The LSU players feel like they have the personnel to win an SEC West title. You look at the fact that the Florida Gators, the improvement that Felipe Franks made under Dan Mullen first year, what does 2019 have in store? Well, I guess we'll find out. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up. More coverage continuing of day one of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days.